not so outside, holding steady at 23.
Well, you know, these days you take your temperature. If it gets over 100 or 1, whatever, they make you stay home a lot. So yeah. I thought maybe that one. I wasn't quite sure the tie-in for that. Craig, as we know, is a big Elvis fan and someone who also has a passion for Elvis and has put together a book is Sally Hodel. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Sally. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Good. We're all right. Destined to Die Young. That is the title of this book you've put together, kind of looking at why Elvis passed away back in 1977. My question, I guess, first off is, where did this topic or idea come from to kind of investigate this aspect of Elvis?
Sure. Well, I've always been a lifelong fan, and a lot of his story, you know, didn't add up to me when I was reading all the books. And as a journalist, I just started to, you know, ask that question of that really has never been answered. And that's, why did Elvis turn to the prescription medication in the first place? I just felt like there had to be a reason, given who Elvis was and how important it was to provide for his family and his fans. And I just felt like there had to be a reason why he turned to that prescription medication in the first place. And I do believe it was to self-medicate through a number of real ailments that have long been buried.
Now, first of all, you brought up poor genes. Tell us about mm-hmm. poor genes in the family.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the Elvis world, his story, his connection with his mother has always been talked about quite a bit because they were very close. And, you know, she dies at age 46 and Elvis dies at 42. Very similar four-year period of degenerative health. And that's kind of always been romanticized a little bit, that he was, like, so much like his mother. But there's a lot of truth in that. His maternal grandparents were first cousins. And that doubling of the gene pool, so to speak, created a lot of disease and disorder in the family. And we see that in Gladys, who dies at 46, like I said. And then she has three brothers who die again in their 40s, you know, heart and liver related issues. So then when Elvis dies at 42 and has heart and liver related issues, you know, it stops being a coincidence and there starts to be something there.
Elvis was a twin, right? I mean, that's what we know, that and his twin died. So there's an issue, or even at birth, where
exactly
some, you know, the situation is not as well as it possibly could be. How does it relate to even him growing up in the rural part of the South, maybe even at that point, what your childhood pediatrician would go through that maybe didn't follow him?
Exactly. And, you know, they were so poor. You know, Elvis's story really is one of survival and not self-destruction, as it's long been told, because he does survive through all these health ailments and fame like no one had ever experienced before. But it starts with surviving an incredible, you know, childhood of poverty. He moves 13 times in his, you know, first 12 years of life, and there is no medical care. You know, there is no doctor to go to, and there's no money for it either. So when he does, you know, become famous and he has all that access to health care, he really does see that as part of his success, which also becomes a problem, right? Because the medication does become a problem over time. But he absolutely had, you know, by the time he passes, he has disease or disorder in 9 of the 11 systems of the body, always written off as the end result of the medication. But my research shows that at least 5 of those were present prior to fame, most likely since birth. You know, his severe colon problem, which created so much, you know, health issue for him, we know that it was an issue as a child, too. And they would have used, you know, to answer your question, they just would have used the old country, you know, remedies that everybody knew how to treat and get by with. But, you know, there was no professional medical help. And most of these things weren't understood at the time either.
Sally, if we fast forward about 40 years past 1977 and assume Elvis was of this era, not of that era, would medical opportunities perhaps enhanced his life, extended his life? How would modern day medicine impacted him if he had been born later and maybe mm-hmm. not faced the circumstances he did as a child?
Yeah, I think a number of things that he had would have been more recognizable. We know he was a carrier for something called alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, which is a genetic disease that even as a carrier can greatly impact your health. It affects your lungs or your liver. They never would have known, you know, the repercussions of that disease, certainly when Gladys passed from it in 1958, and again when it affected Elvis in the 70s. And then he also had a very severe immune system disorder. And we know that even today, those are really hard to diagnose and to treat. So absolutely would have been more easily recognizable today, because a lot of these things, you know, the immune system, they just didn't have a good grasp on that yet and how to treat it and how the gut, what was related to it and all of that. So definitely today he would have had more advantage for sure.
We're talking go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned, Sally, you mentioned your research. As an investigative journalist, what were some of your resources and your sources to get this information compiled and out there?
Absolutely. It really is a reversal back up the family tree. So, you know, really studying his genealogy was very important because we can see where a lot of these issues come from. His, you know, maternal grandmother had always been thought to have had tuberculosis for 30 years and died from that. And we know what that looks like. And of course, now we know that doesn't add up. You know, you were lucky to live 5 years at best with that disease in the early 1900s. So we know she probably had the alpha one. So a lot of it is just, you know, connecting what we know through the evidence of the history and the family tree. And then it's, you know, I interviewed so many people who had access to the autopsy report, who had access to the medical files, really privileged to see a lot of documents and private collections and things like that. And then, of course, the highlight for me as a lifelong Elvis fan was interviewing, you know, so many people who knew Elvis. And his nurse, Tish Henley Kirk, who was with him on tour and lived at Graceland, was a huge resource for me, obviously, from the health aspect. And, you know, to his pilot, to girlfriend, to cousins. I was just so privileged to get to know people who knew Elvis Presley.
Tell me a little bit more about the book that has to do with the non-medical aspect of it, that kind of just sort of fleshes out a little more of Elvis that maybe you discovered along the way, too.
Absolutely. You know, Elvis, we need to look at him as a historical figure because he culturally shifted the universe. And 45 years almost after his death, we're still talking about him. And he's still recognizable the world over by his first name and image alone. So it was so important to me to kind of look beyond that narrow scope of sex, drugs, and rock and roll and look at him through a historical lens. And then by exploring his health and how that impacted his lifestyle decisions, you know, it really does expose Elvis's humanity in a way that hasn't been done before. And I think that's so important because in our culture, he is like this icon and this image, but he was a real man and he had a real struggle through life. And it's an incredible story. And when you add these layers of struggle, it's even a more remarkable story. So I think it's just so important to look at it that way.
The book is called Destined to Die Young. We're talking today with Sally Hodel about this book that you have put together, looking at Elvis and his life and why he died. And why was there so much, I don't know, mythology about his death and even people thinking he's still alive these days? Where does that all come from, you think?
Yeah, I think it comes from just, again, that, you know, I don't know if Elvis is more human or less human, you know, with the way that we elevate him into this status. I think that's certainly where the, you know, after-death sightings have come from. And I think, you know, he dies so young and, again, the prescription medication problem was hidden at the time. People didn't know about that until the Geraldo special came out, but they absolutely didn't know about the health issues because in the 1970s, you know, Elvis, men in general wouldn't have talked about their health, you know, like they might now, but Elvis absolutely did not want to appear to be a weak male, you know, especially amongst, in front of his fans, but even with all the guys and everybody who's surrounding him, you know, he's not just their friend, he's their boss, and it worked. These health ailments have been hidden for over four decades, and all that remains is that knowledge of the prescription medication problem. And again, that just leads to that sensationalized, you know, view of sex, drugs, and rock and roll when it comes to Elvis.
If people had cared more in a different way, could he have survived? Or you have this as being destined to die young,
yeah,
which indicates it would have happened one way or another, I guess. What were your thoughts on that?
I believe it would have happened one way or another. He had a doctor who, you know, he had some doctors that were not helpful in his life, but he did have a doctor who was constantly trying to figure out what was wrong with him. Elvis has three major hospital stays. He leaves each one knowing he has more wrong with him than what he went in with. And they are constantly trying to treat those things while he continues to be Elvis Presley. But I think the biggest factor is that Gladys, his mother, and then three of his uncles, they don't live the rock and roll lifestyle. They don't take the medication, and they also die of heart and liver-related episodes in their 40s.
So how does this look moving forward, I guess, to his legacy, his offspring, his daughter, his grandchildren, or whatever? Does that continue on, or did you even look into that at all? Thoughts?
Well, you know, that's up to them to look into. I've provided the information of what we know Elvis had and what we know he had wrong with him and, you know, how that materialized in his life. But then as those good marriages come in, you know, and people bring healthy genes into the family, then your risk for some of these things decrease. So, you know, genetic disease is not 100% by any means. And obviously he has plenty of relatives who do live to be an older, you know, age. So it's just kind of a, you know, Elvis got dealt a bad hand in that sense. And so did his mother. And it led to that early death.
Yep. Well, you got the picture of the young Elvis on there, Destined to Die Young. Sally Hodel, our guest this morning. If people want to get a hold of the book and read up on it and get a little medical knowledge as well, where's a good place for that?
Sure, you can start at my website, elvisauthor.com, because it tells a little bit about the research and all the people that I was fortunate to get to know. And then it's also on Amazon if that's easier. So
sounds good. Sally, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us today.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Destined to Die Young, Sally Hodel, our guest this morning again, looking back at Elvis and really what caused his death and the different types of maybe the bad choices. You think of, you know, somebody who's famous, Craig, you got the one side where you got the excess, but you also have access then to health, perhaps. And as she says, maybe he's looking for that. But and your question about what modern medicine, it sounds strange to talk about modern medicine, and you're only talking about something that passed away in the 1970s as well. But obviously things have changed in what people thought. But a little lifestyle added into that. But there you have information on that. So, Destined to Die Young is the name of that book. 852 at WEOL.